Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or you can email me directly. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, most, if not all, of the problems that arise in the religious world is due to a lack of respect for the authority of God's Word. If I was asked what I think the biggest problem that we're facing is, I would answer a lack of respect for God and a lack of respect for His Word. All of the issues that we are facing and will face are just simply symptoms of this problem. The issue can be worldliness, it can be divorce and remarriage, it can be the role of women, it can be the what to do to be saved. And while each of these is a different issue in and of themselves, they're all symptoms of a lack of respect for the Bible. And quite often we find ourselves, treating the symptom without addressing the heart of the problem. You know, to kill the pain in the arm without fixing the pinched nerve in the spine doesn't cure the problem or the symptom. The pain is going to reoccur. So the same is true with those who have little or no respect for what the Bible says. To show what the Bible says on the subject of worldliness or the role of women or baptism is not going to correct the problem until those being taught have respect for what God says. First of all, let's understand God has authority over man. By authority, we mean the power to command, enforce laws, exact obedience, determine or judge, and that's the American Heritage Dictionary of the word authority. God has the power to tell man how he is to live and to demand that he be obedient to his will. He is God, after all. The very fact that God is God suggests that he has that authority. He is eternal. He said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, I am who I am. He is the Almighty. He is the all-powerful God, as stated in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. And he is the creator. He created the world and all things in it. Remember Genesis 1 and verse 1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And the world was created for his will, as stated in Revelation 4 and verse 11. He created man, and he gave man the very life that he has. In Genesis 1 and verse 26, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So he has the power to rule our lives. And God is infinite in his wisdom. His ways, his thoughts are higher than man's ways and man's thoughts. This is stated in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. God is so wise that man cannot dare to sit in judgment on God and question what it is that God says and what God does. In Romans chapter 11, we read in verse 34, For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? So man's not left to direct his own steps, as Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 teaches. Also, God controls the destiny of mankind. Paul described God to those who did not know God in Acts chapter 17, when he said in verse 28, For in him we live and move and have our being. for we are also his offspring. And in view of that principle, Paul states that the Lord has commanded in verses 30 and 31 all men to repent. See, God has the right to command that of mankind, in that God controls the life and the destiny of mankind. And God will judge man in the end. God has appointed a day, according to Acts 17, verse 31, in which he will judge the world. And whether we like it or not, or whether we're ready or not, God will call all to appear before him to be judged. This we read in 2 Corinthians 5, and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds that we have done in this body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. So if God is to judge, then he has power to demand obedience to his will. But also, the Bible is the infallible Word of God. How did the Word come to mankind? Well, God speaks to us through his Son. It's in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So God speaks to us today through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Son has also spoken God's will to the apostles. And that which he spoke to the apostles has been revealed unto us through the work of the Holy Spirit. In John, notice in chapter 14, what we read in verse 26. He says, but the Helper, this is Jesus speaking to the apostles, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said unto you. Then we will look a chapter later in John chapter 15. Notice these words that Jesus speaks in verse 26. He says, but this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in your laws. They hated me without cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And then let's look one more chapter further in the book of John, in John chapter 16, and notice what we read in verse 13. Jesus again speaking to the 12, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. That's why we find when Paul later writes in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, let's begin our reading, well, not chapter 2, let's read in Ephesians chapter 3. Notice these words beginning with verse 2. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace that was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and the prophets. So this is how God's word comes to you and I. Jesus came into this world, he taught, he preached the will of God. The apostles heard him. When Jesus ascended back to heaven, he sent to the apostles the Holy Spirit that would reveal all things to them and bring all things to their remembrance that he had preached to them, but also he would guide them into all truth. So that which we have in the New Testament that was written by the apostles and prophets was written as they were inspired of the Holy Spirit. Just as Paul said, that these things have been made known unto him by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it is then. This is how God's word has come to you and I today. And this word is inspired. The Bible was given by the mouth of God. Its words are his words. In fact, the Bible makes two claims about inspiration. One is that all of the word is inspired. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, for all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped unto all good works. We call this plenary inspiration. And then, even the very words that the apostles spoke and wrote were chosen by God. Look in 1 Corinthians as we look at chapter 2 and read verse 13. He says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So this is what we call verbal inspiration. And so the Bible is the Word of God. In fact, the Thessalonians received the things that Paul preached. Notice he says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And in the parable that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 8, he explained that parable of the sower going forth and sowing seed. Jesus explains what that seed is in Luke 8 and verse 11, when he said that the seed of the kingdom is the word of God. So if it's the word of God, we ought to reverence it as such and not view it as it is taught from some word of man or some tradition of man. And friends, we're going to be judged by the word. In the end of time, we will give an account as to whether we have accepted and followed the scriptures or whether we have rejected them. Jesus said in John 12, verse 48, the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So friends, let's have the respect for Bible authority that we need to have and understand that all issues in religion can always be traced back to a lack of respect for God and for his word. We see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you tune in tomorrow. It's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.